At the beginning of the last tape, I mentioned the gaps increasingly appearing between the dates of the tenors to be presented. In fact, opera was losing its mass popularity. The reasons are not hard to discover. One was the new music, which captured the mood and spirit of the era. Jazz had arrived, and the new beat and rhythm was far removed from the classical form, which became old-fashioned almost overnight. Then there was the emergence of the club and dance hall as a gathering place for the young. Countless thousands of marriages must have been conceived during a waltz, quickstep, or foxtrot in the dance halls of Europe and America. Even more devastating to the opera house was the cinema. The crowds who had queued up for hours to see Anselmi and Battistini were lining up now to see Valentino and Garbo. Few could ever hope to see Shalyapin. Everyone could see Chaplin. Hundreds of opera houses had to close to make way for the new entertainments. A striking parallel is the demise of the local cinema at the hands of television. Then one could argue that there was a death of the operatic repertoire. When Puccini died in 1924, the popular repertoire more or less ended there and then. Not one single opera, composed in the intervening 60-odd years, has achieved a popularity equal to Bohème, Tosca, or Butterfly. Opera was caught static, frozen in time and space, so to speak. Singers singing the same old tunes over and over again. And what we must remember is that the Marios, Grisis, Pattis, and Lins were singing the popular music of the period. The arias from the operas of Rossini, Donizetti, Bellini, and Meyerbeer were known to all, and every opera had the best pieces paraphrased for the piano. Organ grinders churned out William Tell, Casta Diva, and Annon Giunge ad infinitum. Indeed, an aria from Rossini's opera Tancredi was so popular that the town council banned any public singing or performing of the piece except in the opera house. Nowadays, the inventive execution and performance of a piece described as the singer's role in our very first tape on the castrati and carried on in tradition by Pasta, Malibran, Rubini and the like is most noticeably to be found in popular music, where Ella Fitzgerald, Frank Sinatra, Lena Horne, Edith Piaf, to name but a few, use their own style and technique to inject their personality into the song. And now we see popular music changing further, and vast crowds that gathered in the buildings to hear Zenatello and Guy, or in the city squares to hear Tetrazzini, are now to be found in the pop festivals all over Europe and America. No conductor of consequence nowadays would tolerate the diminuendos, morendos, and portamento of a Dulcia or a Fleta. But in their day, it was left to the singer how to treat the aria. The public expected and accepted it that way, and applauded them for it. With a stagnant repertoire has come stagnant performance. Continuous repetition of the same operas has led to standardized interpretations. Uniformity is now the norm. Defy if you dare. But they are daring, only it's not the singers. A new and sinister development has been the increasing dominance of the producer, determined to bring opera into the 20th century. In Glasgow, I have seen Il Trovatore set during the Spanish Civil War, Tosca in Mussolini's fascist Rome, and Don Giovanni with a toilet pan centre stage. And there is worse. Allow me to read you part of the critic's report in the Glasgow Herald of the 25th of August, 1989, of the Edinburgh Festival's performance of Prokofiev's opera Love for Three Oranges, as performed by Opera North. Yet this Opera North production is a triumph, partly for the tightness of the music, sung with admirable clarity in a translation by the polymathic David Lloyd Jones, who also conducted, but above all, for its oh-so-clever production, which makes a virtue of all those vices and updates the kitsch. Tons of neat visual gags, grotesquerie, for example, in the hospital deformity, which passes for Truffaldino's first entertainment. and loads of lavatorial and nose-picking humour. Example with the farting farfarel. There are known references to the eclectic mix of media culture. Leander and Clarissa look like extras from the Addams Family. The children are straight out of Poltergeist. The entertainment was capped by audience participation. Scratch cards released odours at appropriate moments. Yes, you've guessed it, including Farfarel's entrance. How droll. You will not be surprised, I think, to learn that not a single singer gets a mention. So from a mass entertainment, opera has developed into an art form for the few. Fortunately, the arrival of two great singers during the 60s led to the revival and reappraisal of the old singers' operas of the last 200 years. More of that later. Meanwhile, there are still many fine tenors to be heard. The last tape highlighted two Americans and two Russians. Now it is the turn of Sweden, Belgium, and Germany.